Hockey Hall of Famer, four-time Stanley Cup champion. He will be in town for the 10th annual Scotiabank Baycrest Pro-Am, bringing attention to the Baycrest Foundation and the crucial funding for Alzheimer's. Please welcome Larry Murphy, everybody.
Hey.
Larry Murphy. Hey, man.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome. We clapped for you and everything.
that's something I'm not used to in Toronto, so I appreciate it.
You know, why don't we just start there? What do you say, Larry?
Well, I mean, of course, my years at the Leafs, not the most successful, but, you know, it just wasn't as bad as time has portrayed it. And I grew up a Leaf fan, so I was very excited about that effort, about the opportunity to play here in Toronto.
Was it when you... I was wondering how I was going to ask you this question, but I might as well just ask you the question. Your time, you were your 4 years here?
2 years.
Well, actually, felt like four?
2 years. I mean, at times, I guess it felt like 20 years, but
yeah.
It's about just a little under 2 years.
Give me the, so you come here, so much promise, you're off a couple Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh, you're a premier defenseman in the NHL, you come home, this is your team, you sign, you're excited, and then it starts. Give me the lowest point of your time as a Toronto Maple Leaf where you just wanted out and you didn't care how.
Well, I never actually reached that point. I always believed that that better days were ahead, and that's what kept me going. And I honestly believed that. I thought things were going to get better, and there was never a point where I went to Cliff Fletcher and said, oh, you got to trade me. I got to get out of here. And I always believed that there was sunnier days around the corner. Thought we had personnel, and this is a case of either a piece or two or just getting things straightened out that we could have some success here. But I wasn't ready to jump ship. It just the opportunity came where if I waived my no trade, I could go to Detroit, and they had an opportunity to win the cup. That, you know, you can't pass up that opportunity, and I jumped on it.
Larry, we all saw you after you won that cup with Detroit, and you had that comment about the fans in Toronto. Was that something you planned ahead of time, or was it just kind of in the emotion of it all?
No, I never, that wasn't anything I said. Wasn't contrived or premeditated. It was definitely affirmation without a doubt. I mean, you're constantly being called out, and then to work out Detroit as they did. It was like, hey, you know, I showed you type of attitude without a doubt. I mean, as a player, you use every sort of motivation that you can get your hands on, and that definitely dealing with the naysayers was one of them.
Hmm. Did you when you were here in Toronto and your time and things started to go sour? Do you have any examples or specific things that stick out to you, or any specific words that were said that bothered you?
No, not at all. I mean, I never made it. I didn't listen to when I'm playing. Didn't listen to talk radio because that's the. That for people that are not happy, it's an outlet for them, and it kind of feeds on that sort of negativity. So I was never really aware of what was said, and didn't read the papers. It just went to the rink day to day. Of course, you know, fans during the games, they voiced how they felt about things, but it was just a case of, you know, kind of keep your head down and just try to be the best player you can be. And then I took pride. I mean, I was excited every time I stepped out of Maple Leaf Gardens with the Leaf on, and I always believed that this was the day of a new beginning for this team, and you know, greater days were ahead. And I never wavered on that. I never thought that it was things were hopeless, and that's what keeps you going, is the promise of tomorrow.
Mm. Larry Murphy joins us, Hockey Hall of Famer, four-time Stanley Cup champion. Really appreciate your time. Moving off a little bit of the topic of how tough it is here in the city of Toronto. Detroit, and you being in Michigan still, Detroit, the Wings heading for a run this spring, they're still good. They're still so good.
Yeah, the organization's had great success over the years by, you know, finding the diamond in the rough, so to speak, after the, you know, like Shanahan, Eisenman era. All of a sudden they find Datsyuk and Zetterberg and premier players. And now, I mean, they've got Tatar and Nyquist. These are guys that are bona fide big-time goal scorers. I mean, the franchise is able to, keep on plugging, and they keep on finding these guys. And it's such a well-run team that, once again, I mean, I think they're playing much better. I mean, of course, they're not nowhere near the top of the league today, but playing much better than what people expected of them. And things are going to bode well for this team for quite some time.
Larry, when you played with Steve and Brendan in Detroit, did you ever envision them long-term being in the positions where they are right now?
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised at all. I knew that they had, the interest in the game and definitely a big interest in the management side of things. And I'm not surprised at all that they are where they are today. I mean, they're smart, they're great players, smart guys, driven for success and doing what it takes to get themselves in the position they are. I'm not surprised at all. I mean, I would have been surprised if they weren't in the situation that they are now.
Do you think Mike Babcock is back next year as a coach of the Wings, or have you heard anything about him possibly becoming the next head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, interesting. I'm sure it's well discussed in Toronto, that possibility. Mike Babcock holds his cards close to his vest, so I think the only people that know what he's thinking is probably him and his wife. His job today is to, of course, bring the Wings as far as he can. But I'm looking forward to next season. What a challenge. I mean, Mike's a guy that's, he's willing to take on pretty well anything. And if the Leaf organization gives him, I'm assuming he would want to come here and have player control also, besides coaching. He might think he can do it. And of course, if they throw him a wall, bags full of cash, I mean, how can he turn it down?
But yeah.
Him being overwhelmed by the Brinks truck, I think with the way the Wings are showing so much promise that that might entice him to stay there in Detroit, but he might want to take on the challenge. I mean, boy, imagine that. That'd go down in history if you're the guy that turned the Trump Maple Leafs around. I mean, that's, boy, what, national hero. I mean, make him the prime minister.
Mm-hmm. Larry Murphy joins us. Real quick, then, you're the 10th annual Scotiabank Baycrest Pro-Am. This thing's legendary. It's where legends like yourself play with everyday Joes like us. Have you played in this thing before?
Yeah, this will be my second time I've been able to play in it. And it's obviously a great cause with Alzheimer's and dementia care. It's a primo tournament. It's the best event I've ever been associated with, so I'm excited to get back. And
Guys who haven't given up the dream and they're like 55, do they try and run your show?
Yeah, we always have. It's interesting at these events. So you have different types of players. You have guys there that they're just happy to be there and just part of a great event. And you also have that portion of guys that are there to win it. I mean, there's only a few guys, and they always mean well, but it's funny though. If you're in a game and you're down by a couple of goals, you can see them looking down the bench. They want you to go out there and score a couple, get them back into it. And if you don't, they're somewhat teased. So it's funny. You got all sorts there. But once you leave the dressing room, everybody's okay with it. But it's funny. Yeah, you got guys there for different reasons, and it doesn't matter. They're willing to put the team into that tournament. They can do whatever they want. I mean, it's just more the merrier. And I mean, it's been successful at $25 million over the years they've been able to raise. So, hey, keep on going.